Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So I ran into somebody the other day at a party of a mutual friend. You couldn't make it.
Yes.
You were out of town.
Yes, yes.
And then somebody at the party approached me and said that they listen to our podcast every week and that they love it. But what was important about what he said was that he applies all of this advice to his personal life.
He applies our business advice to his personal life.
Right. So even though we're talking about business, he finds that he's using it more in his personal life, which I thought was interesting. So I wanted to just let everyone know that.
Well, that's kind of reminiscent. Remember when Working With You Is Killing Me was going when it came out and we were traveling actually all over the country, how many people told us that the sequel should be Living With You Is Killing Me?
Just about everybody. But every single person told us that.
It's true. It's true.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
So good. I'm so glad that he's benefiting that way.
Exactly.
Hopefully some of our other listeners are as well.
Right, because our skills really are applicable in both your professional life and your personal life because they're really self-development goals.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. And so much of it also is about being able to detach enough to not take something so personally and find another way of dealing with it, right? So whether it's someone says something you don't like or they have a behavior that you find difficult or you just can't stand them.
Oh, those people.
Yeah. All right. So today we're going to talk about negotiating your worth.
Yay.
Which I've seen a lot of this lately. I mean, I see it all the time. But
you're so good at helping people with this, Kathy.
So we've got two questions. The first one is from someone who's been recently promoted but without the appropriate pay raise.
Mm.
Not uncommon. Yeah, I know. It's terrible. And the second question has to do with an employee who will only be promoted if he changes his behavior.
Ooh, that's tough.
That's really tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the questions. All right, so Logan, what's our first question?
I just got promoted from manager to VP level at the hospital where I work.
Mm.
I'm managing three times the number of people, traveling, and working much longer hours. I'm very excited about my new title and level of responsibility, but the salary increase has been a big disappointment. When I asked my new boss about this, he dismissively said, "My hands are tied. Why don't you go to my boss and see what she can do for you?" Is he setting me up to fail? What should I do?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, this is not uncommon anymore. You know, we did this in the recession during those tough years.
Yeah.
People were getting promoted with very little money because if somebody would quit, they weren't being replaced.
Well, also, you were lucky to be promoted and not fired, right? It was sort of like that.
But this practice is still in place, and I think it's because companies may be doing better, but their profit margins are not better.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So even though they're making money, the cost of running a business has increased.
Ah.
So I think salaries are not going up. Certain industries, if you want to work on Wall Street, they continue to go up, although I don't hear that from everyone.
Yeah.
But there's other industries like a hospital or universities, I mean, where salaries are not really going up.
Right. Well, and I think the other thing is that those kinds of institutions attract people who are often real givers and hard workers, so they may even have a hard time feeling worthy of a significant raise in salary, right?
Well, that and, yeah. But, I mean, with that said, I still think you have to go and ask for a raise.
Go and ask for a raise.
I do, because this is about your worth. And whether you get it or not is a separate story, but you do have to negotiate.
And this is one of those moments where you have the opportunity to truly negotiate, right, Kathy?
Right. So if you were to go to a different company with a new title, you would get a significant raise, most likely.
Yes.
So you should always go on salary.com and just put in where you live and the title and just see what the going rate is.
For that position.
I mean, it's so great that we have, there's a couple of sites that do salary, give you the average salary, the high and the low within mm-hmm. your area and your job title.
Uh-huh.
Should always check on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm grossly underpaid, but that's another story. Anyway.
You should talk to your boss about that.
Right.
Yeah, they don't have a president of a... So anyway, that was just a joke. But I think, look, the boss's hands probably are tied.
Uh-huh.
Or they don't know how to go and fight for you.
Well, here's the other thing, is that your boss, and we've written about this in several books, right, that you don't know whether your boss has the gumption or the wherewithal to fight for you.
Right.
So go ahead,
yeah,
proceed.
So if you've been given the go-ahead, go to your boss's boss, then go. You should go and ask for a raise. But I think you want to go very prepared.
Informed.
Well, prepared in what you've brought to the company and uh-huh. what you plan on continuing to bring to the company.
With, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, what your contribution is, how you've contributed to the bottom line. I mean, you have to make your case.
Right.
And, the higher you want to go, salary-wise, probably, the less you're going to get. I mean, you have to be real. I didn't say that correctly. Be realistic.
Be realistic about what's possible.
About what you can ask for.
Okay, mm-hmm. So should you also find out, because when we have a K-Talk mm-hmm. that's available online called Show Me the Money. Mm-hmm. One of the things we tell people in that K-Talk is that they should find out what the state of the business is as well, right? Mm-hmm. So is the hospital growing or shrinking? Are there other people in VP positions who are getting significant pay raises? Do you suggest that this person do that kind of thing as well?
Well, you always have to take a pulse on what's going on in the organization.
Yeah.
Are there hiring freezes? Yeah. Are people not getting raises? I mean, this may have something to do with the status of the organization at this moment.
Right.
Or it may not. Yes, you absolutely have to find that out.
You have to do some serious research.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. So I wouldn't stop. I would go and ask.
Yeah. So make the appointment and then do your research.
Right. Right. Because you don't want to sit and stew in resentment.
That's option B. Right.
Yeah, that's always an option, though.
Stew in resentment. Be a martyr. Be severely underpaid and then jump.
And if you don't get it, you ultimately don't get it and you can't live with that, then just job search.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you don't have to stay and you don't have to accept the position, although you should because you want that new title on your resume and then start job hunting.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sometimes I know we've encouraged and it has happened that individuals do go job searching. They get that other VP offer. Mm-hmm. And they come back to their current employer and start negotiating that way.
Right. Will their current employer start offering them a raise? Actually start offering them a raise or maybe
barter? You have to be willing. You have to be willing to lose.
You could lose, but they may, if they really want you, they'll counter offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know.
Right.
You don't know how that's going
to
go. They may say we wish we could.
Right.
Right. But the thing that's interesting about going and interviewing at other places is it may help your sense of self-worth, right?
It usually does.
Right. And you understand that you have a higher market value than probably your employer is letting you know about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that the employer is mean-spirited. It's just that you won't really know until you see someone else being very excited about hiring you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I always think it's good to find out your value outside of your company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The way others see you in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're encouraging here is on the one hand, yes, make the appointment, go do your research, find out what, go to the, say that site again where you can find out the salary comparison.
Oh, salary.com.
Salary.com. Go there and find out within the hospital what's going on and then make your pitch. But you may also want to investigate other options outside. Mm-hmm. Should you make the pitch first and then find out about other job options?
Oh, this is going to sound a little crazy, but I think you should always be job hunting. Not necessarily. I think the job hunt can come after you've been sufficiently disappointed and you realize, all right, they're not coughing up the money.
Where you can use resentment very constructively,
right?
They're
going to use me. I'm tired of it here. I'm going to go somewhere else. Yeah. But, you know, if you're, as you move on in your career, you should be networking on a consistent basis so that offers are coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's one way you know your value.
That's right.
Is when recruiters are calling you or somebody you met is calling you and saying, are you looking by any chance? That will always give you, you know, a good sense. And that's how really successful people do it. They never have to really job search.
Because they're always being...
Jobs come to them.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right. So there's a lot of information here for this individual.
Yeah. Yes. So given that, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be back very soon.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Hey, welcome back. So, Logan, what's our next question?
I've been working in a tech department of a major accounting firm, and I was just told that if I want to be promoted to run the department, I have to change my behavior. Specifically, the term my boss used was practice diplomacy. When I asked what he meant by that, he cited several examples of situations where he thought I was too curt or dismissive in my dealings with people. Being diplomatic sounds like selling out to me. Do I have to be phony polite in order to move my career forward?
Oh, God.
I love this
phony
question.
Polite.
You do? It pisses me off. What do you like about it?
Because I think it's a real question. I think it's I've met a number of people who are very good at what they do and do not feel that they need to win friends or be phony polite or be, you know, be courteous. They just think that what they do, their work speaks for them.
Well, the thing is, they have a misunderstanding of what diplomacy means.
Uh-huh. Yes, correct.
I mean,
that's why they're being told they're not going to get promoted unless they practice diplomacy. That's right. They have a misunderstanding of what it is to build relationships, to be thoughtful of another person, to describe your complaints or your requests in a way that is palatable to the person on the other end. They just think that everyone should do their job, shut up and do their job, right?
Well, I'm also hearing a little righteousness that they feel that their opinion is, you know, of how another person should act or react is the right one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's not... That's just not appropriate. I mean, that may work in your home.
Although, or not.
Or not, right. Exactly. But it's not going to work in the workplace.
Right.
Well, so, you know, diplomacy is a great management tool.
It sure is.
It's not about your opinion or what you think. It's about getting the most out of people.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And you don't get the most out of people by, you know, making assumptions about them.
Or treating them... from
poorly.
An arrogant position.
Dismissive. And get out of here. That's wrong.
Right. You're not working hard enough.
How stupid can you be, really?
Right. I think that's kind of what this person is like. But, you know, if your company is telling you that you need to change your behavior, I would take that very seriously.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes a lot for a company to say your problem is behavior. I mean, normally they would just, like, demote you or put somebody above you or give you that office in behind the copy machine.
Right.
You know, like, where it smells like toner. Like, they would just give you the message.
Which we have seen.
We've seen.
Wow.
And that's where I get that example. Because we've seen somebody, his office was pitch black behind in the smelly room. Anyway, so that's the fact that they told you that. I mean, I would hope they're also giving you some executive coaching along with that feedback.
Right, or you should go find an executive coach. So what you're saying, Kathy, is that this individual needs to reframe the feedback that they're getting. rather than seeing it as an insult and telling them to compromise who they are, to see it as that the company cares about them and actually wants to further their career, and they've got a little polishing up to do.
Yeah, I think the company is saying, we value your contribution.
Yeah.
We just don't like the way you manage people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't like the way your communication style.
Right.
And until you improve that, you know, you're not going to get any further. And these are skills. These are life skills. They're not just workplace skills. And I would just really encourage them to not think it's a sellout. That's just not accurate at all.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, well...
Do you agree?
Because
I got that, like, okay. All right, whatever.
Were you being curtain dismissive,
were you just being
Catherine?
Was that diplomacy?
Phony polite.
Was that phony polite?
No. Actually, I get exactly what Kathy's saying, and I guess what I'm trying to say, imagine if I'm in this person's shoes, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm in this person's shoes, chances are the individual is very bright, and you can have very high IQ intelligence and not so high EQ intelligence.
Right.
So I would say also that it's about, are you willing to develop a skill set that will facilitate higher leadership roles for you? You really have to ask yourself that question. Do you want to lead? Do you want to manage? If you do want to do those things, then yes, you've got to learn how to be phony polite. You've got to learn diplomacy. Be willing to learn those skills in order to take that, to go that way, right? As opposed to just being an expert in your field. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of arrogant experts who don't manage anyone and are not leaders.
You know, a little arrogance is okay. a little, not a lot.
Just a sprinkle.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a dash.
Just like, I haven't done it in a couple of hours. Let me just drop a little sneer over there, a little
exactly.
What over there. Yeah, but... It's because in a way it does say that, you know, you're losing patience for mm-hmm. people that maybe don't have the same intelligence level as you.
Okay.
Yeah.
But as you move up any ladder, you know, it becomes more political.
You have to learn how to manage up and manage down.
Right. And these soft skills, which this person is putting down,
these
soft skills they become more important as you move up the ladder. Because the truth is a lot of people that have technical skill. There's always somebody underneath you who can do it also.
Sure.
Right.
And maybe not better, but eventually they can.
Yeah.
So it's the soft skills that come into place, and I wouldn't belittle them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or think they're not, you know, as sophisticated as your technical skills, because in many ways they are.
Yes.
Yeah. That's my.
Do you feel as though these skills would be more difficult to learn than the technical skills?
For this individual, I do.
For many people.
Or just in general, the soft skills harder than technical, because I feel like with technical, with time, you can learn. With soft skills, it might be something that you're
they
more...
come less naturally, we'll put it that way.
Uh-huh.
And I think that under stress, it's very hard to practice soft skills if they're not in your mm-hmm. repertoire,
right.
You know? So it requires a willingness to be different,
mm-hmm.
to behave in different ways. But I think one mm-hmm. thing that we've seen when we coach individuals is when you start to see the positive response that you get,
mm-hmm.
when you start to, if you're a results-oriented person, right? And you start to see that you can actually get better results by practicing just a few diplomatic niceties,
mm-hmm.
then you'll be able to rationalize it with yourself.
Right.
But I think they are very difficult because technical skills is just brain power. And
mm-hmm.
if you study hard, you go to school, you can learn them. Really, anyone can. Some people will just take longer to learn them. But the soft skills are more about being willing to be vulnerable, being willing to understand yourself on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. not taught in school so much.
Right.
That's,
no, it's not.
Yeah. And
you also have to admit that you don't know how to do it, which can be embarrassing,
mm-hmm.
or you can feel shame.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is embarrassing. It's telling yourself, you know, where you hold yourself back in all relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the personal.
Right. It's a personal.
This is the personal.
No, don't say that. Don't say that.
Well, it's
seeping
true.
Yes, it is true.
It is true.
It is true. And at the same time, with someone like this, I would keep it in the area of career in the sense that, again, it's that sort of you have to prove it to me that this is worth my time.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my orientation.
Well, you mm-hmm. probably understand this person better than me because, you know, that's your side of the business. It does bother me when I see people underestimate the power of the soft skills.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it really bothers me because, you know, for many years, the workplace said soft skills are never going to sell. Nobody cares about them.
Yeah.
And that has completely changed in the 30 years that I've been in the field,
yeah,
where soft skills are now considered very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as the workplace, you know, women are 50% or even more,
yes,
who tend to have stronger soft skills, that has changed the dynamic. And also the just the multicultural aspect of people are coming from such different cultures and different worlds and religious, yeah, backgrounds, that without these soft skills, honestly, I don't know how you can get through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're in that back room with that smells like toner.
Well, I think the truth is get through the day
difficultly,
probably angry and frustrated,
right,
a good portion of the time.
Right, and curt and dismissive.
And feeling alienated from others.
Right.
So and we're if that is you,
and you'd like more of that,
you're probably not listening. At this point.
No, actually, you were about to say I'd pick up a copy of...
Of any one of our books.
Any one of them.
Start anywhere.
Right. Well, the bottom line is we're actually wanting this individual to succeed, right?
Right.
And
yes,
so is the person who told him to practice diplomacy.
Yeah, that was very kind of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So do it.
May not feel like it. Yeah, just do it.
Hire a coach. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, this is something you've helped a lot of people with. We've helped it with individuals within organizations. You know, if you deserve the support to learn this skill. So, and you don't want to have to ask people around you how to do it. I don't think.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, this is something you go to a professional for, and it doesn't take long.
Yeah.
Once you put the focus and attention and the willingness on it, it doesn't take that long.
Yes.
But it's an ongoing life skill, where you have to work on it all the time.
Because
mm-hmm. you may think you have it, Matt. I know you don't want me to take it out of the workplace, but I think it's, you may master it in the workplace and, you know, figure out, oh, okay, so I can run this meeting and I
yeah.
can move everybody. You know, I can inspire everyone. I don't have to call them jerks. And then you'll go home and you'll see if you use it there, it will work better also.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, oh, yeah. No question about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've beat this subject over
diplomacy.
Right. So that's it for this show.
To a pulp, yes. Thank you. And tweet us your stories and advice about negotiating your worth at work. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and or Stitcher. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.